What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauley on KMOX.
Back at it. We'll jump right back into Cardinals here in just a moment. But I got to ask Maria Kina something. Yes. She just did a newscast. And you mentioned frost quakes.
Yes.
I have never heard of a frost. Are we just making new things up now?
I don't know.
I feel like if frost... If there's really loud noises that are coming as a result of cold weather and ice and stuff, I don't feel like that just all of a sudden becomes a thing in 2025.
I agree with you. And in all the time that I've been doing news and weather reports, I've never heard of a frostquake.
A frostquake. It sounds like something that you get at Dairy Queen.
It totally does. Yes. I would like two frostquakes,
please. Two frostquakes, yeah.
And, but,
cookies
you know,
and cream.
I heard something the other night that it sounded like a car that crashed into another car. So I ran out there to look, and nothing had happened. It was just as silent as anything. And I thought, well, that's kind of weird. So then the next day, the frostquake story comes out.
Frostquake.
So I'm like, I don't know. I guess it's a thing, but we've had cold temperatures here before.
Yeah,
like
that
this.
Shouldn't be a new phenomenon. Uh-uh. Yeah.
And you were in Milwaukee. Certainly they would have it up there.
You would think. I've never heard of a frostquake. And I worked for a radio station very similar to KMOX. So I feel like if there was a frostquake story to be done... They would have done that at my previous station.
It's like, remember Polar Vortex? We had never heard of that before. We hadn't heard of any of that stuff. I think...
But we experienced... That thing was real.
Oh, it was
that
totally
vortex
real.
Was real. That was terrible.
But I think from a climatological standpoint, things are changing so much that they're just giving them names.
Probably. That's the only time in my life where I would have my car in my garage... And I would still go turn it on at night and drive it around because I had zero confidence that it would start in the morning.
That was brutal, that one.
And that, I was living in Wisconsin at the time. So I lived in Iowa at one point, and I was like, oh, okay, this is a different kind of cold than I ever had in St. Louis. And then later in my life, I lived in Wisconsin, and that took that's a new level of cold when it gets cold there. And you get your first snow. Here in about a week or so, we probably won't see any snow. We've got like 10 straight days of 40 and above coming up once we get through what we're going through right now. And then all the snow will melt. In Wisconsin, you get that first snow and you don't see it go completely away until there's some places where it's May or June.
Oh my
when
gosh.
You finally see the snow piles completely gone.
Really?
Yeah. Always there. You don't see the sun for like 3 months.
Oh my God.
It's terrible. It's terrible. They know how to plow their streets there, but it's terrible.
I like that little dig you got in there.
They know how to plow. Yeah. So thank you, Maria.
Thank you.
That's Maria Kina taking care of news tonight here on KMOX. If you want to join us, you can do so. 314-436-7900. 314-436-7900. That's how you call. That's how you text. You can tweet at me at Matt Pauley on air. We're talking through Cardinals and kind of doing a postmortem of everything that came out of a winter warm-up weekend. Got a text message from the 618 that says, I'm so excited for Cardinals baseball. I have faith in this team. I'll take everything that comes with it, wins, losses, business decisions, management decisions, stadium fans, team position changeups, and even cynical or pessimistic attitudes. I may not be the best informed person in the world of baseball, but I do know one thing. I am still learning and love the game. Cardinals fans who are frustrated with the way things are right now or the way things maybe where this organization got to, I think it's totally fine. Totally, you have every right to be frustrated. They have not been a playoff team for a couple years. The decisions, many of the decisions that they've made have not worked. And they have not, from an optic standpoint, look like a legit World Series contender in most years in recent history. Now, I will say the Pujols year, 2022, when they lost to the Phillies, man, I thought they had a chance for a deep playoff run that year. I did. I thought that team was something that could really turn into something. And it didn't work out. And I don't like relitigating that Philly series, but that they could have easily taken that first game of every single game since I have been back covering this team. That's the one, that game one against the Phillies. That's the one that sticks with me the most. And I always kind of wonder, how different does the future look if they go on a deep playoff run? Let's say they get to the NLCS that year and they still end up losing, and, you know, not that they're a World Series team, but let's say they get to the NLCS, because there was so much optimism about where the organization was at coming off that special, special, magical summer where we watched Pujols do what he did. And they sat back way too much. Now, we can say that now. I always try to be fair in my self-assessment. I wasn't saying that offseason. I missed that one too. I was wrong. I thought they were in really good shape and that they could make, you know, some small tweaks and that they would be in good shape for 2023. And obviously losing 90 plus games, they were not. So I, along with many people, got that one wrong. But yeah, I got that one wrong. The organization got that one wrong. But does it look any different if they don't lose that series to the Phillies and they go on a deep playoff run? Does it look any different the next year? Are they still a 90-plus loss team? I don't know. Probably. But I can't say for sure. And that's one of the odd things about the nature of baseball from one season to the next. I really believe it. I do. Again, I don't get everything right. I know that. But I think this team is going to outperform expectations this year. Now, part of that is connected to the fact that expectations are low. They've got the exact same odds to win the division as the Pittsburgh Pirates. That's where the expectations are at. Expectations are low. So outperforming those expectations, if you're the fourth place team in the division, but you outperformed expectations because the Pirates are the fifth place team and you had better divisional odds than the Pirates, but that's not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is a team that, from a win-loss record, can kind of be what they were this past year. Be a team that is contending for a playoff spot, maybe even contending for the division. I'm not impressed by anything that's Kyle Tucker going to the Cubs is notable. But that doesn't turn them into a World Series contender. That doesn't turn them into a juggernaut of the NL Central. And I've been, again, under the category of things I might get wrong, I've been telling you all offseason that I expect the Cubs to do more, that I thought the Cubs had a couple more splashes left in them this offseason. And then what happens? Their owner goes out during their convention and says, well, we're just trying to not lose money. Okay. Like, what are you doing, Cubs? But like, I'm happy with you. I'm not rooting for the Cubs to do something more, but they can if they choose to, if they want to, and this is a great opportunity to do it. The Brewers are the Brewers. We devalue them every year in the offseason, and then they go win the division. The Reds are the most talented team in the division from a raw talent standpoint, but they're not putting the pieces around that team to get them set to win at a high level. Now, if they get off to a really hot start, maybe things change and they've got a Hall of Fame manager now in Terry Francona. But I've said this a million times and I will keep saying it. I will keep saying it until the moment that it's clearly not true anymore. And I hope I just am able to keep saying it. If Jordan Walker and Nolan Gorman take big steps forward, it's a big if, huge if, but we should be very, and we'll talk about this more later on in the program. If Jordan Walker's exuberance, giddiness that he had at winter warmup about the changes that are being made with him and Brant Brown, if that's legit, if that gets him back on the track that he was previously when he was one of the top prospects in all of baseball, if Brant Brown really unlocks Nolan Gorman and he becomes a middle of the order 30 plus home run guy, the Cardinals are going to be a better team this upcoming season than they were this past year. If those two things happen, because then that makes up for the offense that you did not get from Nolan Arenado and the offense that you did not get from Paul Goldschmidt this past season. Daniel Guerrero is one of the Cardinals beat writers for the Post-Dispatch and STL Today. He had a busy weekend at winter warmup. We'll get his thoughts on what he heard over the course of the 3 days. That's next. This is the Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps.
Beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring amazing special guests from the cast and crew.
After that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben and Adam.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Back back at it on a Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. We are taking you till 8 o'clock this evening. This is the first time we've been able to talk to this guy since the Post-Dispatch shuffled a few things. Ben Fredrickson left. Lynn Worthy moved from being a Cardinals beat writer to being a sports columnist. And Daniel Guerrero, who has done just an incredible job previously covering the Cardinals, but also covering the Cardinals with a focus on what's going on from a prospect and minor league standpoint. He has moved into a more prominent role covering the Cardinals, and I know he's going to continue to do prospects and things like that as well. But part of that tandem with Derek Gould, and we do welcome Daniel on the program right now. So before we get to anything, congratulations on kind of your position changing a little bit with the Post-Dispatch and STL Today. I know everybody who knows you was really happy for you that you have an even more prominent role here moving forward.
Hey, Matt, thanks for the invite and thank you for the congratulations. You know, I'm excited to continue to bring Cardinals coverage for readers. And yeah, I'm excited to continue staying with the Post-Dispatch.
I want to throw kind of just this broad question at you, and then we'll focus in a little bit more. But 3 days of winter warm-up and press conferences and things being said, as you get done covering that over the 3 days, was there a single thing or a single moment or something that stood out to you as being most notable or more notable than most of the other things that were said?
Yeah, I mean, winter warm-up's always an interesting weekend because you kind of get a sense of you know, what the Cardinals are going to look like in the coming year. And I think when you look at all the players that we had a chance to, as the media had a chance to talk with, and obviously we got a chance to talk with the coaching staff and the front office and ownership. But I mean, I think the one thing that really sticks out is Jordan Walker's enthusiasm heading into 2025. And you look at the confidence, you look at more of the size that he's put on. I mean, he's continued to grow. And you just hear him talk about the process of hitting, working with Brant Brown, the Cardinals' new hitting coach. And you definitely see a Jordan Walker that not only just kind of oozes confidence and but just has sort of this, you know, pep in his step and this demeanor that, you know, he's ready to roll into 2025 after a couple of rough years of having, you know, to kind of go up and down from the majors to minors and, you know, have struggles in between and flashes of success at both levels. But you look at Jordan Walker coming into this year and some of the changes that he talked about that he's been working on. I mean, you definitely get a sense that he's ready to take that next step and become that centerpiece of the Cardinals lineup that, you know, he was projected to be as a prospect coming up.
The arc of his storyline is so interesting because he had that long hitting streak at the beginning of his career, but then the Cardinals weren't happy with him hitting it on the ground so much. And basically, after that hitting streak ended, he got benched for a while to work on things early in the day. And then eventually they sent him to Memphis and he came back and had a pretty solid second half of the season. And then last year really struggled. We had the weird thing where he got brought up, but he wasn't playing and they sent him back down. I mean, if there's anybody who has every reason to not have confidence, it's Jordan Walker, in large part because of the way he's been handled. Yet here we are, and everything you said is correct. It feels like Brant Brown and the things that they're working on has reinstilled him with all the confidence in the world.
Right. And it really, I mean, like you mentioned, I mean, that shuffle and kind of the expectations that he had coming into this as, you know, at 20 years old, I mean, there are a lot to put on the shoulders of somebody that young, somebody who's sped through the minor league system like that. And you know, I think throughout even the last couple of years, you saw a lot of kind of the same personality with Jordan. I mean, he made clear that, you know, he had never lost sort of that, you know, feel or excitement or just kind of that the passion for hitting and the passion for baseball. I mean, he's always been kind of that same guy, but I mean, when you, like you said, when you think about all that shuffle, I mean, it can be easy for somebody, especially that young, to, you know, feel down on themselves of not living up to expectations. But I mean, he seems like somebody who is primed for a big year, and, you know, with the Cardinals heading into what they're, you know, calling this reset, and, you know, turning it over to the young guys with Jordan, Mason, and, you know, a lot of the other guys on in that clubhouse. I mean, and you look at Jordan Walker and kind of where he fits into that, to the puzzle. I mean, he seems like, you know, he's ready for that spotlight.
When when it was first initially indicated by John Mozeliak that they wanted to move on from Nolan Arenado, there was a baseball side of it with giving young guys an opportunity to play, but there was a money side of it as well because they wanted to reduce payroll. And then we heard over the weekend that they're at a point now where even if they don't trade Arenado, they don't feel like they're forced to make other moves, trading Eric Fetty, trading Ryan Helsley, all the other things that they could potentially do. How important is it that seemingly has changed a little bit from where they were at winter meetings to where they're at right now, that there's not as much of a consequence from a payroll standpoint if they don't end up trading Arenado?
Right. And yeah, that was something that, you know, Cardinals ownership had talked about with Bill DeWitt Jr., Bill DeWitt III meeting with local reporters. But I think what you mentioned, you know, obviously that is more of like the payroll aspect of it. But I think probably one of the bigger things to look at, I guess, like from my point of view that I'm seeing is sort of the on-field influence of that, right? Because, you know, if Nolan Arenado, you know, shows up in spring training and, you know, still a Cardinal and plays, say, begins the year and, you know, the year starts off with Nolan Arenado still on this team, that, you know, would potentially prevent, you know, an avenue for somebody like, you know, Nolan Gorman playing, you know, a little bit of third base, or Thomas Ajayi getting some time in the infield, whether that's at third or second base or, you know, whatever kind of role they use him in, that utility spot. I mean, Brandon Donovan's also another guy where, I mean, he's, you know, had a secure spot on the team, but, you know, if there's sort of this still presence at third base with Arenado and, you know, that kind of clogs things up in sort of the calculus of, you know, playing time, I think that's one thing kind of to look for. But yeah, but I mean, it definitely does seem like from the payroll aspect that although trading Nolan Arenado, as John Mozeliak put it, is priority 1, 2, and 3, that if it doesn't get done before spring training, that, you know, you should still expect sort of the same, I guess, makeup of the Cardinals roster as it is.
You allude to it, but let's go at it very directly. If they don't trade Nolan Arenado, the cost of that is potentially Thomas Ajayi not being on the team, certainly if he is on the team, not getting the at-bats that you want him to get. It's Nolan Gorman not being able to go over to third base. You might force Lars Nootbaar into center field because you're forced to play Brendan Donovan in left if you want to have Gorman at second. Like you touched on it, but there are clear ramifications to Nolan Arenado being on the roster.
Right. I mean, there are a lot of moving parts to this. I mean, and then I there's an emphasis especially on that because if, you know, they're talking about a reset and, you know, letting the young guys have every opportunity to play at the major league level, as, you know, what's been made clear by the front office and ownership, that is a huge part of it. And then it's not only, you know, with Donovan and left field, but I mean, there's also other guys, right, where, you know, there's going to be some outfield competition with, you know, Michael Cianni and Victor Scott. And you know, there are a lot of, you know, different moving parts, like, as you mentioned, where if Nolan Arenado isn't able to be moved, then I think that does heighten the competition, you know, for that opening day roster if Arenado is still a Cardinal at that point. But I mean, it does feel like that is a priority of getting young guys playing time, and, you know, an Arenado finding a landing spot for him is a pretty crucial part of that.
We are talking with Daniel Guerrero, Cardinals beat writer for the Post-Dispatch and also STL Today. We heard from both Wilson Contreras and Sonny Gray, and each of them went in a little bit on their decisions to not waive the no-trade clause and how much they believe in this team and not wanting to take the easy route. Daniel, it's really easy to say this on January 21st, but... And what else, I guess, are you going to say? But while these outside expectations for the team have been lowered, internally, it feels like to me there's a group of guys there that feel like that they can be a whole lot better than people are saying they're going to be. Do you believe that that's a possibility?
I think, I mean, when it comes to, like, I guess projections, I mean, that certainly could be one way to look at it. And, I mean, it really could be. I mean, because you have so many guys who – are in kind of that, like, early 20s age range where, you know, you expect them to grow and develop and expect them to take that leap at the major league level. I know we touched on, you know, with Jordan Walker a little while ago, and, you know, Mason Wynn's another guy. I think Nolan Gorman, if, you know, he's able to kind of hold that consistency of some of the of what we've seen from him in the past, right? Of being that, you know, left-handed presence in a lineup. You know, another guy like Lars Nootbaar, I mean, obviously he's shown a lot of, you know, advanced metrics that, you know, are very promising. And, you know, if he can stay on the field, that could be a big piece of it too. But yeah, I mean, you certainly get a sense that, you know, this Cardinals team, although, you know, they're heading into a reset from an organizational standpoint, that there are guys who are hungry. There are guys who feel like they're not that far off. And that was one thing, as you mentioned, with Sonny Gray, you know, with him and Wilson being clear that they want to stay here. But Sonny Gray was very clear that, you know, that he feels like the Cardinals aren't that far off, especially within the division, that he's confident that this team can compete and this team can go out and win some games. I mean, and he's been a part of a few different organizations that have, you know, had young guys succeed. I mean, he was in Oakland A for a while, and that was one of the things that, you know, that you can point to in Sonny Gray's history, where, you know, there was a team that kind of let the young guys produce, and they produced. And there is certainly that belief with a lot of the guys in the Cardinals clubhouse. And, you know, it's something that, you know, if maybe on paper, it might not feel very exciting, but I mean, if guys take steps forward, then that certainly can be a possibility.
Last thing for you, we're talking with Daniel Guerrero from the Post-Dispatch. As someone who has spent so much time covering the Cardinals minor league system and Cardinals prospects, how important do you deem it that this team gets better at player development, the goal of Chaim Bloom and the organization, the very loudly stated goal of this offseason?
Yeah, I mean, that's going to be a huge part of it. And the Cardinals have taken some steps in that. One of the major things is the staffing that they've kind of bolstered at the minor league level. There are a lot of additional coordinators and roving instructors that weren't some coordinator positions that weren't filled in previous years. I mean, you know, they hired a catching coordinator. There's a base running coordinator with Jose LeHair filling that latter role of being kind of an assistant field coordinator and base running coordinator after he was a manager at Double A for a few years. That's a sign that the Cardinals are investing in player development and providing resources. But yeah, overall, I mean, it will be a big year, and, you know, we're going to see some of the top prospects in big league camp to start spring with J.J. Weatherholt and Quinn Matthews and Chase Davis. But overall, I mean, the Cardinals are entering a year where they have, the number five draft pick, and, you know, the lottery, you know, kind of turned in their favor with the draft pick lottery. But yeah, this is going to be a big year for a lot of Cardinals prospects to start taking steps forward, because that is something that the organization has prioritized, not that they haven't in the past, but I mean, as they kind of go into this reset and overhaul, you know, you results, you know, will be important to see.
There's a clear scenario, Daniel, where we get to August or September and Mason Wynn and J.J. Weatherholt and Quinn Matthews and you know, maybe Tink Hentz. Like there's mm-hmm. a pathway for all of those guys to be on the big league roster together towards the end of the season. That's another exciting part of what's going on here.
Yeah, and I mean those three guys you mentioned, especially, you know, with Tink and needing to see him, you know, just stay healthy and put together a full season as a starter. Obviously, J.J. Weatherholt, the guy you mentioned who, you know, seventh overall pick, had a really, really strong showing in low A, and will get a good look in big league camp around the major league staff. But I mean, and you can also throw in maybe Tekoa Roby in that kind of in that bucket. I mean, maybe Cooper Jerpy is somebody who can surprise if, you know, if he's able to stay healthy as well. These are all guys that the Cardinals are looking at as, you know, cornerstones for the future. And, you know, they're starting to add resources around them that they haven't had in the past. And, you know, like you said, if it's a year where the young kids are going to get a chance to play, and not that winning is not going to be a priority, but, you know, if opportunities are going to be available for the, you know, future Cardinal core, I mean, those are certainly guys who, you know, we might see in August.
He is Daniel Guerrero. You read him in the Post-Dispatch, STL Today. Follow him on Twitter at TheDanGuerrero. Daniel, thanks for the time. As always, we'll see you down in spring training before you know it.
Cool. Yeah. Thank you, Matt. Thanks for the invite.
You bet. Absolutely. Daniel Guerrero joining us, and we appreciate him taking a few moments with us. Really wanted to focus in on this show today, giving you an opportunity to certainly have a voice on all things going on with the Cardinals. Try to do that after weekends or moments where, you know, big things come out, and that's certainly coming off winter warm-up weekend. So we still have time for your phone calls, your text messages, your tweets, and your voice messages. If you want to call or text, the phone number, 314-436-7900, 314-436-7900. Tweet at me, at Matt Pauly on air, or leave a voice message via the Odyssey app. It's a Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX. Back at it on KMOX. It's the Graybar Sports Open Line. Have you for about 20 more minutes. We're done at 8, but you're not done with me. Tonight, the Gas House Gang. We've got a three-person edition after I missed it yesterday because I was on Cardinals Caravan. I make up for it by joining Kevin Wheeler and Tom Ackerman today. We had some interesting conversations today about the Cardinals and kind of clearing the deck for Heim Bloom. Is that what maybe they're doing? I've been thinking about that a little bit since Brendan Donovan did not agree to a multi-year deal to try to avoid arbitration. And there's still a possibility of that happening. I think a good possibility of that happening. But I just wonder, anything that they do that is beyond this year, how much of that brings in Bloom to the conversation? Because you want to be respectful of what his roster is going to look like. And in no way, shape, or form am I saying that Bloom is like an anti-Donovan guy. I don't think anybody can be an anti-Donovan guy with what he does for you from a skill set standpoint, from a leadership standpoint, from just a production standpoint. I mean, he does so many things well. But I do think any deal that you sign that goes beyond 2025, I think at that point you bring Bloom in on it. And the other side of this is one area where I'm actually very comfortable with the Cardinals lowering payroll this year with an assumption that it's going to come back in the future. So everything that I'm about to say is contingent upon the Cardinals restoring their payroll level at some point in the relatively near future, maybe 1 year from now. Would you rather the outgoing, and this has nothing to do with like John Mozeliak and his ability to make decisions and his ability, you know, just the quality of signings and things like this. This is, you could put any president of baseball operations in this spot. So there's nothing personal about John Mozeliak when I say this. Would you rather the outgoing president of baseball operations use a whole bunch of money to make decisions and bring in players? And when we're talking about that amount of money, you know, $60+ million, when we're talking about that amount of money, it's not just a bunch of 1 year deals. Like, these are deals that have wide ranging implications and multi-year sort of things. Would you rather John Mozeliak make those decisions right now and then Heim Bloom just have to deal with them? Or would you rather the team push that money to the side with the idea that it is eventually going to come back and then Bloom can use it to shape the team the way he wants it to be shaped? And for me, it's a pretty obvious answer, because sometimes you get stuck in like in-between land and it's the last thing you want. You see this a lot when new GMs or new president of baseball operations come in. And look, it's not just a base, it's any sport. That first year for a new final decision maker for a roster, you're always in no man's land because you've brought in some of your people, but there's also some people from the previous regime that are on the roster, and you aren't totally able to shape the roster the way you want it to be shaped. Now, no matter what, Bloom's going to be dealing with that a little bit. There are going to be people around that maybe would not be the first people that he would want to have on the roster. But by taking a step back, putting some money off to the side, figuring out exactly what you have with the current group, you allow bloom to come in 2026 and create a roster that he is most comfortable with. And I think there's value in that. Not that you have to do it that way, but I do think there is a little bit of you know, value in that. Text message from the 618 said, just wondered about your opinion on this. If Bregman signs with Boston, would Arenado reconsider going to the Astros? I think Nolan just didn't want to interfere with Bregman's decision. The Astros don't have a spot for him anymore. You know, that was the... When the deal was agreed upon between the Cardinals and the Astros, at that point, Christian Walker, had not yet signed with the Astros. So what they were able to do is they would have moved Isak Paredes from third base over to first base, and Arenado would have come in to be their third baseman. Well, Arenado rejects the trade. The Astros move on. They sign Walker. Walker will be their first baseman. Paredes will be their third baseman. There's no spot for Nolan Arenado. So even if Arenado would reconsider going to the Astros, there's no room at the inn. There's no spot on the roster anymore. The Astros have moved on. And that's where things continue to get complicated. If Bregman goes to the Red Sox, I have a hard time believing that Arenado gets traded before spring training. I'm starting to have a hard time believing that no matter what. But the Red Sox, to me, it feels like are the only team out there that Arenado would accept a trade to, and that they have the financial ability to pick up enough of his salary to make it, you know, worth the squeeze for the Cardinals. Detroit has been mentioned as a potential landing spot for Arenado if they don't sign Bregman, because they reportedly are in the Bregman sweepstakes. I don't know for sure, but if Arenado's rejecting a deal to the Astros, is he really going to go to Detroit? And does he really fit in Detroit? Like, I have a hard time believing that he would leave the Cardinals and would waive his no trade clause if he's traded to Detroit. And that certainly has not been a team that's been listed on, you know, his potential, you know, cities that he would like to go to. I think if the option is for Arenado, and I don't know Arenado that well, so it's a dangerous thing. I probably shouldn't even be doing it, but it's if I am to assess Arenado's thought process, I would think, again, I could be wrong on this, I would think that there is a higher percentage chance that he would rather stick with the Cardinals, bet on himself as a bounce back candidate, have a great start to the season, and see what happens across baseball, whether it's via injury, whether it's via lack of production from a third baseman. If one of his preferred landing spots, if all of a sudden they become in need of a third baseman and he has positioned himself to a place where he is even more marketable to get traded, I think he would rather take that route than take the route of accepting a trade to a place where he just really would not rather play. So that would be my thought. I could be wrong. I could be wrong on that for sure, but that's kind of where I'm at. Reading things, doesn't sound like Boston is the leading candidate team right now for Bregman. So maybe but we just have to, and this Bregman thing's taking too long. This Bregman thing is just taking way too long. Scott Boras has once again put his client in a really bad spot. We are, 3 weeks from pitchers and catchers reporting to spring training, and this thing hasn't been figured out yet. If you're Scott Boras, man, you gotta get these things done, because other players are watching. Other players are taking note of the fact that these deals aren't getting done. And the fact that it is sitting here and it's January 21st, and players of the like of a Bregman, of a Pete Alonso, these guys are just out there. Like that can't happen. They gotta figure out a way to get that process moving on a little bit. Speaking of process moving on a little bit, we'll take one more break. We'll come back and we'll wrap up this edition of a Graybar Sports Open Line, and then get you to the Gas House, gang. It's all coming up here on KMOX.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauly on King of OX.
Starting to wrap up this edition of the program. Again, we've got the Gas House Gang coming your way in just a few moments. Today's program, myself, Kevin Wheeler, and Tom Ackerman. So be tuned. I think we had a pretty good show today. Again, if you don't realize, we record that at 12 noon every day. You can actually watch it live and be interactive by leaving comments and things like that. You had hopefully you just subscribe to the KMOX Sports YouTube channel. And then you can set it up so you can get notifications when we go live. Tomorrow, it's going to be me and Tom Ackerman. Thursday, I believe, is Kevin Wheeler and Bernie Miklas. And then Friday, me and Bernie. So we've got different grouping on an everyday basis. Did three people today after I missed the show yesterday because I was out on caravan. But it's been a lot of fun. And like I said earlier, the reaction that I was very surprised that the number one thing I heard from people when I was out in all these various cities over the last 2 days was how much they enjoy watching or listening to the Gas House Gang. So if you have yet to hop on the Gas House Gang bandwagon, well, you can start in about 9 minutes when we hit the air after the 8 o'clock news here on KMOX. So starting to wrap up our post-winter warm-up edition of a Graybar Sports Open Line here on KMOX. I've talked through most of the things that I wanted to get to, and I thought what Daniel Guerrero said when we had him on just a little while ago was important. He didn't use the word giddiness, that's my word, not his, but the excitement, the exuberance, whatever word you want to use to describe Jordan Walker. Because, man, this guy has every reason in the world to be down and out about his baseball career, just the way it's been, I don't know, handled is the word I was going to go with. I just don't like the way things went down the last 2 years. I think it could have gone a little bit differently. If you're trying to build a guy's confidence, I'm not sure that was accomplished. In fact, I'm pretty sure the opposite of that was accomplished. And it feels like the opportunity for him to work with Brant Brown, the opportunity for him to spend the offseason again in Jupiter is just, he's got a new lease on life. And there's a lot of really smart people coming into the organization that are coming in from other organizations. And there's going to be more eyes on him. And Kevin Wheeler and I have talked about this before. So this is kind of a Kevin thing, but I'll take it as my own because I agree with it. When you're bringing in people from other organizations, it's not so much about getting rid of the way you've done things or getting rid of the way you've looked at things, but it is adding on. This guy looks at it from this perspective, this guy looks at it from this perspective, you come together and eventually you get the best possible outcome, or at least a better outcome than what you have previously had with the way you've been doing things. And that's going to be a theme here moving forward as different folks come into this organization and start impacting players. You're going to start to hear more and more of what we've heard over the last few days. So when I see Jordan Walker just so excited about where his swing is going, the Cardinals tried to change some things with his swing, and rightfully so, because, look, you could not continue to go down the path you were going down with Walker, with what he was doing, where his swing had turned it, what it had turned into, really, this past year. I'm not talking so much about, if he would have stuck with where he was at for the second half of 2023 and progressed from there, it would be a different conversation. But you couldn't just keep going down the path that you were on with him when he can't touch anything low and away, when there's certain pitches that he can't hit, when he's pounding everything into the ground. But it sounds like, based off what he said, that the new approach to this is kind of getting back to where he was at and what he was, and then building on from there. So really building on from previous place as opposed to just completely changing. And this will continue to be one of the major keys about this team moving forward. If he can take a step forward, if he can be a middle of the order bat, an impact bat, that's going to go a long way towards this team being a little bit better than people expect them to be this year. That's going to do it for the program today. Again, we've got the Gas House Gang, myself, Kevin Wheeler, Tom Ackerman. We will be with you for another Gas House Gang. That begins after the 8 o'clock news right here on KMOX.